time in polyatheism, we conclude our look at the great Celtic hero Cuchulainn with his greatest triumph and untimely death. Now, when Hollywood finally gets off its collective lazy ass and finally gets around to making the big-budget Cuchulainn film, this is your cold open, okay? Northern Ireland, Ulster, long ago in the time when gods roamed the earth freely. We see the cottage of a farmer in the early evening. The farmer enters his home after a long day of growing potatoes or whatever and finds, much to his surprise, a beautiful woman in his house. She's cleaned up the place and is setting a hot meal on the table for him. "What's all this?" the stunned farmer asks. The beautiful woman replies, "I am the goddess Mocha, and I'm going to live with you and be your wife." "All right then," says the farmer. Sometime later,
all right then.
The farmer is speaking to a now very pregnant-looking Mocha, and he asks her if she's sure she doesn't want to go into town with him for the big festival. "I can't," she says. "And furthermore, you are to tell no one about me, about us, and about our wee buns in the oven." "Yes, yes," says the farmer. He's heard
all this before. Oh, my
God, they're
expecting twins.
Yeah, twins. "Still, I wish we didn't have to hide our love." Blah, 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 blah. Off the farmer goes to the big festival. All manner of medieval nonsense goes on at the festival, and everyone is there, including the king. The farmer enjoys himself, maybe has a few drinks, watches the games, and then the main event is a horse race wherein the king's horses blow away the competition. "There ain't nothing faster than the king's horses," a man sitting next to the farmer reacts. "Bah," says the farmer, "my wife is twice as fast as the king's horses." And then he realizes his mistake. Whoops, he's realized he wasn't supposed to say anything about her, but
wait,
it's too late.
He's Irish. He could just back up and be like, "I was drunk. That was stupid," right?
They all are, though. So it's indefensible here.
Oh, damn.
So the king has heard of this, and he says, "You think your wife can outrun my horses? Bring her here and prove it." The farmer protests, but the king is insistent, and he sends a messenger to Mocha with the message that if she doesn't make an appearance, her husband is as good as dead.
"But my belief in my wife is like a religious belief. It's not like real."
Right. Mocha, none too happy about having to haul her massively pregnant belly into town, arrives at the festival where she is told that in order to save her husband, she must race the king's horses. She protests, appealing to the mercy of the crowd, saying, "Each of you had a mother. Will you not show me some mercy and at least wait until I've given birth to my children before forcing me to race?" But it falls on deaf ears. 9 months pregnant, with twins, Mocha is forced to race the king's horses. And miracle of miracles, she succeeds. The horses eat her dust. But then, tragedy. The moment she crosses the finish line, she turns around, falls to the ground, and in great pain gives birth to twins. Thank you, Jeremy. As this happens, she screams in pain and curses the entire audience, saying, "Because you would not show me mercy, I curse each of you for 9 times 9 generations. Whensoever Ulster is under attack, the men shall fall upon the ground with the pains of childbirth and leave Ulster undefended."
Ooh. I would not have like the ability to say that much. Like,
right? As
that just happened
just
to me.
Shot out 2 kids, a couple of placenta. Yeah. As her voice echoes over the stunned crowd, we do a smash cut to the title card. Cuchulainn, the hero of Ulster. Now, years later, a greedy queen named Maeve gets upset because her husband was 1 cow richer than she was. She could not let that stand, so she sent her men to steal for her a very special cow, the brown bull of Cooley. Cooley is, of course, located in Ulster, the home of our hero Cuchulainn. Maeve mounts an armed force to take the brown bull, and in doing so, she triggers the ancient curse of Mocha. All the men of Ulster become helpless, rolling on the floor as if they were in labor. The only man unaffected by this curse is Cuchulainn himself. Why? Why is Cuchulainn exempt from the curse of Mocha? Well, some cite the fact that he was the son of the god Lugh, but the more compelling argument, I think, we can all agree, is that Cuchulainn does not technically qualify as a man because he does not have a beard. Which is obviously the true mark of one's manhood.
True.
He said to a room full of beards. Cahulain successfully defends Ulster against wave after wave of Mev's forces, first striking down hundreds at a time and then facing single combat against some of her greatest warriors. At one point, Cahulain must face his own best friend, and another he has to paint a fake beard on. I'm not sure why. At one point, he falls asleep, and some men slip by and slaughter all of the children of Ulster.
Oh, whatever.
The cow is what's important.
I guess he was pretty pissed off when he woke up. Oh,
rude awakening. He faces a druid wizard and his 90 sons who all act as a single entity.
Now, that's kind of cool.
That's so cool. I'm not sure if this is accurate, but I picture it like cartoon bees. How they'll form a big fist and stuff. So I don't know if that's
totally
it,
awesome.
Somehow, in the midst of all of this, Mev's men manage to sneak past and get the brown bull of Cooley. They bring it back to her home, stick it in a pen with her husband's most prized cow, the white bull of Connacht. Long story short, the two bulls kill each other. And thus, this entire foray proves fruitless and needlessly devastating to the population of both Ulster and Connacht. Don't worry. Years later, Mev is killed when her nephew hits her in the head with a piece of cheese. If that makes you feel any better about
that's
the whole
awesome.
Thing.
That's my favorite.
This whole cattle raid is significant not only for the mayhem and heroism, but because events here will lead to the eventual death of Cahulain. One of the warriors he killed during the cattle raid had a handful of children, and when their father was killed, Mev scooped up the kids and shipped them off to Hogwarts, where they could train to become powerful sorcerers.
Whoa.
Right?
That's a cool crossover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not explicitly Hogwarts, but let's read between the lines here, folks. So years later, they return and try to prod Cahulain into a battle. But he has no reason to fight them. He killed their father during a war, but he has no beef with the kids. And he's already caused them enough trouble by killing their dad, so he refuses. And so they provoke him. First, they curse him with the sounds of war, which follow him around wherever he goes. He becomes like a human boombox, emitting a loop of swords clashing, people screaming, hooves stomping, whatever kinds of things you'd hear
that's
in warfare.
Obnoxious.
Yeah, so the people around Cahulain are being driven mad by this sound, so what they do, brilliant solution, they send him down the road to live with the village of deaf people. Nice. Now, why the deaf people need their own village, I guess they were too much trouble living with everyone else, but whatever. So problem solved. Next, they curse him with the sights of war. So everywhere he looks, he's surrounded by imagined enemies, blades of grass become swords, and so on and so forth. Finally, this brood of Slytherin psychopaths disguise themselves as Cahulain's mistress and convince him to go into battle against them. Now, on his way into battle, there's all sorts of bad signs. First, his drink turns to blood in his hands. His horse cries blood. His weapons fall off the wall. And most Irish of them all, a poet threatens to satirize him. He deals with that situation by spearing both the poet and the nine men standing behind said poets. Lesson of the day, never line up behind a poet. Now, Cahulain's biggest problem, however, comes from his own magical rules, or geish. The rules are, one, anytime he passes a house where someone is cooking, he has to stop and share their meal. Not so bad, right? And two, he can never eat dog. Lo and behold, amazingly, for the first time in his life, he passes by a house where three old women are cooking a delicious dinner of, you guessed it, dog.
Oh, what happens under these circumstances?
Well, he tries to just kind of skirt the rules and just nibble on a little piece of the dog, but it's enough to...
You're going
to
say, like, the whole world kind of collapsed into a paradox and...
Yes.
There goes Ulster.
It's like Schrodinger's cat.
Yeah.
No, he just nibbles on a little bit of dog shoulder, and that's enough to suck away some of his powers.
Dog shoulder.
Now, once in combat with the wizard kids, he's struck by a spear which rips open his abdomen. As logic would dictate, he scoops up the entrails and heads to the river to wash them off. Because the last thing you want is a dirty small intestine. Am I right?
Yeah.
As he's doing this, an otter comes by and licks up some of the blood. Cahoolan, who's a bit short on patience and has no time for this nonsense, crushes the otter with a handy rock. This may not seem like a big deal.
Unless you're an animal rights activist.
Well, of course. PETA is enraged. There's a long-standing prophecy that says Cahoolan will begin with the death of a dog and end with the death of a dog. Now, if you remember a couple episodes back, he gained his name, Cahoolan, the Hound of Hoolan, by killing a dog. And now he's killed an otter, or, as the Celts called them, a water dog.
What?
Didn't see that twist coming. So
That makes sense.
Right? They're dog-ish.
Yeah, they're mammals.
Sure. So Cahoolan knows it's game over, but he refuses to just lay down and die. He's got that fightin' Irish spirit. So he straps himself to a boulder so that he can remain standing up and keep fighting right up until his final breath, which of course comes when a raven, the symbol of the death goddess Morrigan, lands on his shoulder and Cahoolan is no more.
Hmm.
So there it is, ladies and gentlemen, the thrilling conclusion of the story of the great Celtic hero Cahoolan. Just one more son of a god who died to save his people, worth not believing in.